So now you said in OPEC, when it comes to OPEC and leading OPEC, the Iraqis are challenging Iran's status, correct? They're putting their own guy out there.
Yes, this is, you know, a symbolic move.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are lots of other issues among between them as well. You know, Iraq does not agree with Iran's support for Bashar al-Assad in Syria. The Iraqis have refused to conclude talks with Iran to let Iran run a border river. You know, there are lots of other issues, you know, that I don't want to go into details.
Okay, well, let's go to Syria then.
Yeah.
Even the Russians admit that Assad's likely to lose power, and they've been trying to prop him up for the longest time, and Iran have been trying to prop him up. If Syria goes to the rebels, and the rebels that we like, that we just named and waited forever to support them, who benefits there? Does Iran stay an influential force in Syria?
Not at all. If Assad goes, Iran will go completely from Syria because the Iranian regime has so identified itself with the Assad regime that any future Syrian regime will have no room for Iran for many, many years to come. And, you know, Iran has invested more than $20 billion in the Syrian economy. It has been sending over 1 million tourists and pilgrims to Syria every year. It has been supplying Assad with arms, with training, lots of things, you know, and the Syrians see the Iranian regime as their enemy.
Wow. So you say their economy's flat on its back because their currency is worthless. It's even got the Ayatollahs nervous.
Yeah.
Nervous for what?
Well, he's nervous not to be able to deal with these challenges all at the same time. And, of course, the increasing unpopularity of the regime itself among the Iranian people. You know, when people see that the regime is failing, they don't want to identify with it. And this is happening from within the Khomeini's camp at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, just a horrible, brutal force. It's unthinkable that they were able to last this long.
Yeah.
And you think this is going to mean that they're going to come back to the U.S. for the first time maybe since 2003 and maybe go one-on-one negotiations with us because now they need that?
Yes, because, you know, it would be very good for them if they could engage the U.S. in direct talks for a number of reasons. First of all, you know, they would claim that they have established equality with the United States. That will end their isolation in the region. At the same time, they would reassure the people in Iran that we are going to solve this problem with the United States, so the economy will restart and so on. You had better wait a little bit. But more importantly, they will sabotage the talks that are taking place with the United Nations through the 5+1framework, in which, you know, the five permanent members of the UN plus Germany are negotiating with Iran the implementation by Iran of five Security Council resolutions. And if the United States agrees to set these resolutions aside, this is exactly what Tehran wants at the moment. It would mean that talking without any conditions means that all these resolutions don't count anymore. And the very specific demands of those resolutions, including stop to Iran's nuclear program, would just be set aside. That would be a major victory for Tehran, and they would try to, of course, translate that into political prestige at home and in the region.
Yeah, I just hope America is smart enough to understand there's a reason for
the
outstretched hand.
Yeah, President Obama should use the offer of direct talks, because there are also bilateral problems between Iran and the United States, apart from Iran's quarrel with the United Nations, which concerns the whole of the UN. President Obama should insist that bilateral Iran-U.S. talks will take place after Iran has implemented the UN resolutions and solved these problems with the United Nations.
It would be nice.